Agencies all over government are looking for ways to reshape their workforces in the face of tight budgets. Some have turned to buyouts. Others are reassigning people, all with one goal: to make sure they have the right skills in the right places. Former Intelligence Community Personnel Chief Ron Sanders has been speaking with colleagues, and he joins us now with a pulse check on how agencies are doing. Mr. Sanders, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Reuben, how are you doing this morning?
All right. And so this is a big issue because we're seeing a lot of these trimmings going on. What should agency leadership be doing now to plan for the rest of 2012 and 2013 with respect to the workforce?
Trimmings is putting it lightly. Actually, Tom, about a year ago, the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen started putting together a report called Smart Cuts. That may be where the trimming analogy comes from, that looked back at the 1990s, the last time the federal government went through cuts of this magnitude, and identified a number of strategies and a whole bunch of lessons learned. One of those strategies obviously involves personnel reductions, but all of the strategies, cutting overhead, consolidating, closing facilities, investing in IT, every one of them impacts people. So agencies asked us and OPM to put together a workshop that went into much greater depth on the people side of this challenge. And we actually parsed that challenge into four separate dimensions: strategies to deal with those who will have to leave, strategies to deal with those who will remain, looking downstream at those that you'll need in 3 to 5 years, because you've got to begin shaping for that end state today. And finally, strategies for remaining competitive in the labor market today, even though hiring is curtailed and in some cases frozen. So we convened a whole bunch of chief human capital officers, staff, senior agency leaders last week to begin to drill down on those four dimensions and try to come up with lessons learned, strategies, ways ahead for the coming years and with budget cuts in the offing.
All right. So what did you come up with? What are some of the top things people in charge of this sort of issue should be doing?
Well, why don't we take them by each of the dimensions? Let's look long range first, and that's not an easy thing to do these days. There is a short-term perspective. Let's get through this budget year and the next. But really, the most important thing we found is looking downstream 3 to 5 years. For agency critical skill sets, there's a 3, 5, 7, sometimes even longer year lead time to take a recruit and train him or her to be a seasoned professional. So looking downstream, understanding the demographics and dynamics of your workforce, and most importantly, using sophisticated modeling tools to try to project those skill sets, that's really something that agencies need to focus on. Again, avoid the temptation of just looking at this year and next. Look downstream and begin shaping to that end state. Secondly, even though hiring may be curtailed and in some cases frozen, maintain a presence on campus and with professional associations. Look at mid-career hiring, where you're getting fully trained professionals, and most agencies don't do as much mid-career hiring as they probably could. And even on campus, again, where you may not be hiring as many folks as in the past, have your executives and senior managers and senior professionals on campus giving lectures, maintaining a presence, establishing relationships with key faculty, so that if and when the hiring tap gets turned on again, or when you have to fill your most critical skills, even though the numbers may be small, you've got a presence and the pipeline hasn't completely dried up. Two other dimensions that we addressed. First, there are some people that will have to leave. We'd like all of this to be done voluntarily. That's the most humane way. But frankly, with the economy being the way it is, things like early retirements and buyouts, voluntary means, may not get you the numbers that you need, because in some cases the numbers are going to be pretty daunting. We did talk, though, about how to make sure that people are let go with dignity. Again, whether it's voluntary or otherwise, this is something that the military has learned, I think, quite well, and it's a lesson we can all learn from them. Celebrate the service of the individuals who may be leaving. Let them go with dignity. And I just heard John Berry on your program talking about knowledge transfer. Some agencies, particularly in defense, I'll single out Army, have alumni programs that ensure that the people who depart remain connected to the agency, in part to teach new folks, in part to be there as a reserve in case they're needed again. In addition, something that we don't do as much with civilians is teach them job search skills, how to write a resume. Many civilians, when they leave, have never written a resume. They filled out a government application, but that's not typically what's used in the labor market. So workshops on job search skills can also help provide a bit of a safety net. I'll point out Pat Tamburino, my colleague from DOD, who's been providing a great deal of leadership in this area, again, to make sure that as civilians depart from defense or domestic agencies, that's done with dignity.
You're speaking then, with – oh, go ahead.
Lastly, Tom, what do you do with the folks that remain? Help them get over survivor's guilt, keep them focused on mission, make sure their morale is up. And obviously, open and honest communication is important. But I'll tell you one of the surprising things that the workshop brought out. Archico said if there's ever a time to make performance distinctions, to use the tools you have to make sure your highest performers are rewarded, now is the time. It's an old adage but true that in good times and bad, your most marketable employees are your highest performers and those with the most critical skills. And if they are high performing, those are the
sure.
ones you want to single out.
We're speaking with Ron Sanders, executive advisor at Booz Allen Hamilton and former chief human capital officer for the Director of National Intelligence. And when you have those buyouts and you're trying to make those adjustments, how do you make sure that the right people accept them and that the great people that you want to stay don't sign up first?
Well, that again, the good news with early retirements and buyouts is that it's voluntary, so it's probably the most humane way of reducing the size of the workforce. The problem is that while you can limit those eligible for early retirements and buyouts by occupational series, you really can't limit it in terms of, you know, we only want average performers to go. You really can't do that. So you have to be very careful. You have to target it by skill sets and make sure that you're only doing it with those skills that are going to be surplus either now or in the future. But you do face that dilemma. You don't want your best folks to leave now, you know, even when you've opened up the gates and asked people to go voluntarily. Again, that's where that lesson comes in. Use the performance tools that you've got, quality step increases, promotions, bonuses. Even if bonus money is negligible, use intrinsic rewards as well, but make sure that your highest performers are acknowledged and recognized so that they don't get tempted to take a buyout and go shop elsewhere.
And if you have some younger workforce people that might be very promising, there seems to be more flexibility nowadays in using annuitants to come back maybe on a temporary or part-time basis. This is something also that John Berry has mentioned recently. Is that a good strategy?
It's a very, very effective strategy, and there are agencies like DOD and several in the intelligence community that have the authority to waive the annuity offset. I won't bore you with the details of that except to say that it removes disincentives for retirees to come back and help. And in those,
they don't get their annuities cut, in other words.
Exactly. They don't have to pay to come back and help.
Sure.
And that's proven very, very effective in terms of knowledge transfer, coaching, training new troops, you know, sharing that institutional knowledge that is absolutely priceless. And I wish that's something that we could see expanded government-wide because it is just so effective in terms of that knowledge transfer.
And looking at the 2013 budget, would you say that we're in a personnel sense, in a human capital sense, in for some pretty rough sledding for the next couple of years?
Unfortunately, we are. You know, the Smart Cuts report is nonpartisan. We make no comment on the merits of those cuts. Its focus is on how to achieve them in the most efficient and effective way possible. But it's, you know, this is deja vu all over again. We went through this in the 90s for slightly different reasons, the peace dividend in DOD, reinventing government on the domestic side. So the antecedents may be different, but the lessons learned are there. And the Smart Cuts report we did with the partnership, I think, provides folks some guidance as they begin to look ahead.
Ron Sanders is former chief human capital officer for the intelligence community and now an executive advisor with Booz Allen Hamilton. Thanks very much for that recap.
Thank you, Tom.